Good afternoon, everybody. Trust that you all had a good week, a nice warm week, no doubt. We had lots of rain, so that's been good for the grass. Alexandria had a nice time mowing that yesterday, to my great satisfaction, I might add. I like sticks, so you might be wondering to yourself as I walked up here, hey, Chris, what's up with the sticks? Well, I'll introduce you to my two sticks. This stick, I told David Pierce that he might recognize one of my props today. He's a lifelong friend of mine, and he and I were walking with our kids in Livingston State Park many years ago, and I found this beautiful oak tree growing with a nice vine twist in the right in the middle of it, and liberated it from the forest to become my staff. And this, up until yesterday, was a broken shovel handle that I had leaned up against the corner of my shed. But as Clint Eastwood said in Pale Rider, there's nothing like a good piece of hickory. Now, just because I quoted Clint Eastwood at the front of my sermon, don't turn off on me yet, because you might recognize that there's a place in the Bible that speaks of two sticks, so to speak. The title of my sermon today is Thy Rod and Thy Staff, They Comfort Me. Now, just as an additional aside on how much I like sticks, I think it was after the time that David watched me harvest that, we were at the feast walking up the mountain by Fish Creek Falls, and a mountain man came up the mountain. We had went up as far as we could go before we figured we better turn around before it got dark, and our kids were jumping around like billy goats on the rocks, and us adults were suffering from the altitude and kind of dogging our way through it. But this mountain man came up the trail toward me. He was big bearded fellow, big thick mustache, and he had this cool looking walking staff. And I said, hey, man, I like that. And before I could say I like that stick, he just handed it to me. And he said, yeah, I met your friend down the trail. He said you were going to ask me about your stick. So I like sticks, but that's just me. The Bible mentions, brethren, two sticks. And you might expect by the title of the sermon, the type that I'm going to talk about. They were sticks that were carried by the shepherd. A club to defend himself against wild animals and to protect the flock, and a long pole to guide and control the sheep. Today I plan to discuss the tools of the Good Shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and discuss how the Good Shepherd uses these tools to lead us. I have 2 points today. First, we have to understand who the Good Shepherd is, and secondly, understand the uses of both the rod and the staff, and why, as we read, brethren, they should be a comfort to us as his sheep. So first, we have to understand who the Good Shepherd is. Now, I don't have to ask too many times the question for you to obviously forecast the answer to that. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the God of the Old Testament, is our shepherd. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, that's a memory scripture for a lot of us, you'll recognize it. 1 Corinthians 10:4, it describes Jesus Christ as he led the Israelites, where it says, 1 Corinthians 10:4, they all drank that same spiritual drink. This is when it says they all came through the sea. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It's what we use to, among other things, to teach that Christ was the God of the Old Testament leading and working with Israel. I'm always, it continues to fascinate me every time I read both the stories in the New Testament of Jesus Christ in interfacing with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews of the day, and Moses interfacing with God back in the New Testament. Remember, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And the God of the New Testament, the Lord Yahweh, said, I am that I am. And Jesus Christ in the New Testament, mostly in John, you'll recognize most of these had the I am statements. Jesus Christ declared himself. But the best one is in John, it's 8 or 9, when Jesus Christ says to the scribes and Pharisees, before your father Abraham was, I am. A pretty cool and pretty bold statement at the time, because of course they ripped their clothes and sought to kill him. But Jesus Christ throughout John says of himself, I am the bread of light. I am the light of the world. I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd, among other I am statements of Jesus Christ. So we know, of course, understanding who the good shepherd is, that that is Jesus Christ. You can turn with me to John 10. John 10 in the Gospels. Reading John 6 through 15, you'll find all of those statements referencing, with Jesus Christ referencing who he is. I am, he says in verse 9, this is just before the target I'm going for, the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now he says of himself as the door, that it's the sheepfold. So he is the door of the sheepfold. And then in verse 11, John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he talks about the hireling who might leave the sheep and let them scatter or flee because he doesn't care about the sheep. But we read in verse 14, and he says again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life, verse 15, for the sheep. So Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And he keeps on through there. I have sheep that are not known of this sheep pen, and I've always understood that speaking of the Gentiles who would come and be called. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And there, of course, he speaks of his resurrection, which is spoken of in the next chapter, and as you know, throughout the rest of the book of John. So that's the first point. We'll spend the majority of our time today discussing the second point, brethren. We understand the use of both the rod and the staff and why they should be a comfort to us. So, you know, as many times as I've read the 23rd Psalm and read about those two implements, I had personally never studied into what they meant. And you hear rod and staff throughout the scriptures. There are hundreds of references to both staff and rod, and sometimes to a word that means either or, a rod or a staff. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to refer to Zechariah 11 and verse 7. You can write that down and read the entire chapter a little later if you like. Because in there it's speaking of, Zechariah speaking of the prophecy of the shepherds, and he talks about shepherds who are false, who are evil, and who basically feed on the sheep. But throughout there, he ends up the chapter talking about himself as the true shepherd again. And there are some familiar prophecies of 30 pieces of silver and whatnot in that chapter as well. But in Zechariah 11:7, there's the prophet who speaks as the shepherd says, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, the poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, I called one beauty, and the other I called bands, B-A-N-D-S, bands, and I fed the flock. So basically my reason for bringing up this scripture is just another place in scripture that speaks of the shepherd and the two tools that he uses, the two staves. Staves in this case is one of those words, magkael, that means either a rod or a staff. So he has two sticks. He calls one beauty and the other bands. The translation and some of the commentaries differ, but basically they refer to the two staves as separate tools of the shepherd. The first one of these staves, beauty, means clemency. kindness, leniency, gentleness, and suppose it has respect to the kind of kind and gentle manner in which God deals with the Jews in that day. And the later called bands, sometimes referred to as binders, means destroyers and may denote either destruction of the people when they sinned against God or their punishment. And now the place that you expected me to mention, certainly as an indication by the title of the sermon, Psalm 23, where we read, "The Lord is my shepherd," and I always have trouble reading just a portion of that because it's such a beautiful run of scripture. So we'll read that there, beginning in Psalm 23, verse 1, a psalm of David. "The Lord," that is Jehovah, Yahweh, the proper name of the God of Israel, "is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beautiful, needs very little explanation. It's beautiful in its poetry, and beautiful in the way that the God, our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, leads us to the point that we'll want for nothing. Have you ever stopped, like I mentioned, to consider what the difference is between a rod and a staff? And that's kind of the rest of the second point today. What is a rod and what is a staff? I get some of these items from just general searches through the commentaries, and one from the book A Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm. Many of you have probably heard of that book. Maybe some of you have read it. It's actually very short, and though it has some lean toward Protestantism that we may or may not agree with in some portions of it, it is a very good review of how the shepherd deals with the sheep. And certainly all I've had as far as experience with sheep goes is that I've eaten a few. I've had some mutton, I've had some lamb. I have never shepherded or herded a sheep. Now, I've talked to my good friend from New Zealand, where the sheep outnumber people by thousands, and he tells me that they're amazing creatures. They're good to eat as well. I think I've had some of that lamb that I've experienced over at his place. But basically, understanding how the sheep need, the sheep are not very smart animals, and they need to be cared for, to be herded. And when we talk about a shepherd, this is before the days of barbed wire fences and yards and hay bales. This is a shepherd who goes out into the wilderness, if you will, with a flock of sheep and has to protect them from all of the things that might encroach upon their safety, meaning that he takes them to the places where there is water that they can drink from. And this shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm even mentions that a sheep has a special way that it has to drink. It has to immerse its entire face, its entire snout into the water. Otherwise, it can't drink because it doesn't lap with its tongue. It doesn't, of course, it doesn't have a hand to cup it to its mouth. It has to sink its entire face into the water in order to drink. So the shepherd has to make sure that the sheep has still waters. He has to prepare a table for it by going out into the field and looking for any noxious weeds or things that are going to make them sick or things that are going to be pitfalls for them. So we understand that, you know, back in the day that David spoke of the Lord being our shepherd, people understood exactly what a shepherd's role was. And people understood that basically as they went out into the wilderness, that the shepherd had two tools. He traveled light. He didn't have a chuck wagon following him like in the old cattle herding days. he basically had the knapsack that he brought and these two tools, his staff and his rod. And he used those in order to comfort and protect the sheep. So here are some keys to remember in reference to the rod and the staff. The rod, a short, stout club, you know, anywhere I read from 18 to 32 inches long. This one happens to be a pretty long one for a rod. It could be used as a cane, but as you can see, it could also be used as a pretty formidable club. Is for protection and is a sign of authority. The staff, as we've read in many places, such as where Joseph blessed the children of Jacob, it said he did that as he was dying and he leaned upon the top of his staff. So it was a means of support, a means of comfort for the sheep by the shepherd. The word rod means the Hebrew there, shebet. And it means scepter as in the scepter that Jesus Christ wields as he returns in authority, club, or specifically authority. So the rod, scepter, club, or authority. The shepherd had the authority to use the rod on the sheep, and of course he used the rod to protect the sheep as well. The shepherd in the book of Zechariah called his rod bands, which means to writhe, twist, travail, ruin, and be broken. The shepherd had the authority to create discomfort while working with the sheep who are resistant to his authority. Now, I looked and looked for places to actually confirm the story, and I couldn't find it, but I saw the story in three or four different places where it said that there was a story of a shepherd who used his rod to break the leg of a lamb who would not obey and kept straying. Sounds pretty outlandish, doesn't it? But basically, because the lamb couldn't walk, he had to carry it everywhere they went. And by the time that the lamb's leg healed, the two were inseparable. So he used the rod as a part of his authority. The Lord, in the same way, hopefully not through broken bones, disciplines us, brethren. So we can read that in Proverbs 3 and verse 1. A familiar scripture to you all, I'm sure, where it says, "Son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. If you endure this chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father does not chasten?" So in some cases, the rod is used to chasten and correct the sheep. Now in Psalm 23, the word staff is mishnah. It means a support of any kind or to lean on. It symbolizes not using our own strength to accomplish God's work, but instead leaning on him and on the Lord's staff. The shepherd in the book of Zechariah called his staff beauty, which means kindness, pleasantness, or a delight. The shepherd's staff was used with kindness on the sheep, and he would even use it to gently stroke the sheep or to hold them back from danger while he used the club to protect them. So the two tools in the shepherd's hand were very integral to the work that he did. Think about it. You don't read of any other occupation that has a staff, do you? You know, we know by, you know, pictures that we've seen in our Bibles or whatnot that, you know, some shepherd's staffs are displayed as having a big hoop on the end of them. I don't, you know, in most cases they say that's not the type of staff that the shepherds would have used in ancient Israel, but in some cases they would have a small hook on the end of them, like perhaps where the branch of a tree came, that would be able to grab the sheep by the hock or kind of above the knuckle of one of their legs and help them along or pull them out or away from danger or to help them up a difficult climb or something to that effect. The staff, mishnah, as referred to in Zechariah, meant beauty. The shepherd's staff was used with kindness on the sheep, and it would even be pleasant and indeed beautiful to the Lamb who was comforted by it. Now, Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, and you know, I've read actually where some, you know, there's no real scriptural reference to Jesus Christ as a carpenter, only as the son of a carpenter. And some believe that by the fact that he spoke so often of himself as the door and the shepherd, and he understood that role, that maybe in his early days had been a shepherd himself. But it does say in Mark 6 and verse 34, you don't have to turn there, it's one scripture, that Jesus, when he came out, saw the people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. Just as the Lord chastens us and has compassion on us, brethren, we should model that behavior. Is the shepherd supposed to be strong and authoritative with the rod? Or is he supposed to be supportive and merciful as with the staff? Which one is more true of our chief shepherd, the good shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ? Neither is more true, both are true. It's like Paul in his paternal care at the end of the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians said, when he was encouraging the Corinthians to imitate him, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 21, he says, "What will ye, that I shall come to you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" Because he had the authority to do either of the two, brethren. The shepherd carries both a rod and a staff, and he uses whichever is needful at the time. Now a few excerpts. I should have put that table a little closer. Now a few excerpts from The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm by Philip Keller. When the shepherd is afield with his flock in the high country, it's accustomed for him to carry a minimum of equipment, kind of like we talked about before. He's not out there with a large support staff. He has the food that he can carry. He has the milk from the sheep, if he milks them, and he has his two sticks, the rod and the staff. Now, he says this was especially true in modern times when they didn't have mechanized equipment. In the Middle East, the shepherd only carries a rod and a staff. Now, this fellow Philip Keller, author of A Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm, was from South Africa. He had grown up there, and he spoke of the African herdsmen and their that walked with a long, slender stick, their staff, and they had a rough knob carry. Knob carry was the type of stick that they used. It was a certain tree that grew that made a large root ball at the end. So when you see pictures of them, it looks like a club with a big knot on the end. And he even speaks of how the young shepherd boys, because think about it, David was the youngest of all of his brothers, and he was out tending the sheep. So it was a job for the youngsters, and if they took it seriously, they took great pride in choosing their staves and their rods, and they'd spend time making sure that they fit their hand and shaping them and polishing them. I tried to do that with the old shovel handle. I sanded it down and put some olive oil on it to make it shiny. Still an old piece of hickory, but certainly a formidable weapon when used correctly. And he says that those shepherd boys spend hours practicing throwing that rod, throwing it both in protection of the sheep against marauders or things that would eat them, and in warning the sheep or striking them with it if they stray, as he's using it basically as an extension of his arm. Each shepherd boy, you know, kind of picks his own. So the rod was threefold. It was, and this is just as we had talked about earlier in the definition of the word shebet for rod. It was in safety, discipline, and authority. Safety to both safeguard him and his flock of danger, and the instrument he used to discipline and correct any wayward sheep. Discipline in that the rod is used by the shepherd for the welfare of the sheep, namely that of discipline, used for this purpose, perhaps, in his opinion, more than any other. And lastly, in authority. Another interesting use of this rod, and you guys will remember this from the Bible, is that the shepherd's hand was to examine and count the sheep. In the terminology of the Old Testament, this was referred to as passing under the rod. And it describes us, or the children of Israel, even of having passed under the rod of God. I read in another book about, or another section of my research, one of the commentaries, that often, since perhaps the shepherds may not be literate or able to count, of course God gave us 10 fabulous counting instruments, didn't he? The first decibel, or the first metric system. But he said that the rod may even have notches, so that as the sheep passed under them, the shepherd could hold his thumb on the notch of the rod as he counted 10 sheep. And so for every 10 sheep, he would move his thumb to the next rod. And then when he had, if he had four notches and four fingers and he had 44 sheep, then he knew that he had no missing sheep. So using it as a instrument to count them with. And in Ezekiel 20 and verse 37 is the scripture that I referred to. You can jot that down. He says, "I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." So this meant not only coming under the owner's control and authority, and remember the rod, one of its definitions is authority, but also to be subject to his most careful, intimate, and firsthand examination. It speaks of how he'd use the rod to separate the sheep's wool and check them for any blemishes or injuries or problems that needed his attention, where he might anoint them with oil, another part of the 23rd Psalm that we're so very familiar with. Finally, the shepherd's rod is an instrument of protection for both himself and his sheep when they're in danger, used as both a defense and a deterrent against anything that would attack them. The skilled shepherd often uses his rod to drive off predators like coyotes, wolves, cougars, or stray packs of dogs. It's used to beat the brush to discourage snakes and other creatures from disturbing the flock. And in extreme cases, as David spoke of in 1 Samuel 17, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you like. I'm not going to read that scripture, but if you'll recall, David, in the presence of King Saul, as he was mortified by the behavior of Goliath of Gath and said, "Who is this Philistine that defies the army of God?" He told King Saul, "I'll go up and fight him." He said he talked about how when he protected his father's sheep, that he struck the lion and the bear when they took the lambs, and he took the lamb out of his mouth, and the bear rose against him, and he caught him by the beard. Maybe it was the lion, and he struck him. Well, brethren, he struck him with his rod, the extension of his right hand, the shepherd's tool that was used to protect the sheep. So as he recounted that to Saul, no doubt he used his rod to attack the lion and the bear that came to raid his flock. Now let's turn to discussing the shepherd's staff. In a sense, the staff is more than any other item of the shepherd's equipment the most personal. It identifies the shepherd as a shepherd, kind of like I mentioned before. What other job do you know of where you carry a long stick? It's not just for the support, as in all of the sticks that I've collected over the years, just because they kind of look neat and I like to have a walking stick when I'm out walking in the woods. It's more than that. The shepherd used that staff, or that long slender rod, as a piece of equipment, as a part of his profession. It's uniquely an instrument used for the care and the management of sheep. Its design and shape and adapted specially to their needs, and it's used as a symbol in the Bible of concern and compassion that the shepherd has for his charges. Remember, as I mentioned, he'd use the staff even to protect or shield the sheep while he defended him with the rod in his other hand. Whereas the rod conveys the concept of authority and power and discipline and defense against danger, the word staff speaks to all that is long-suffering and kind. Remember, its actual definition, the staff, missional, means support of any kind and to lean on. You lean on and rest is in the staff of the Lord, our great and good shepherd. It's a long and slender stick, similar to the staff that I've brought here. A lot of times it has a crook or a hook on the end, as we mentioned, for the use of actually helping the sheep either make a difficult climb or pulling them out of danger, or for helping to herd them, used as an extension of the arm to gently lay upon the flank and encourage them to go one direction or the other. You've seen perhaps that before, you know, in some kind of imagery, whether it be a movie or some documentary about a place that still herds sheep in that manner, where the shepherd is using his stick to just keep them gently in the right area. So the staff is of a special comfort to the shepherd of himself as well. So he uses it as a support to help him as a third leg, if you will, as a support. He leans on it and he gets strength from it, and it can be even a comfort to him. So the staff, a comfort to the sheep, a comfort to the shepherd as he uses it to lean on it, as we read about, or we mentioned about Joseph, who leaned upon the top of his staff. Interestingly enough, and this is a complete aside, but the staff is typically a long, slender stick, and the rod a much shorter stick and much like a club. And you can confirm that by the fact that you remember when you think of the imagery of it, when Moses and Aaron and, you know, Charlton Heston, you know, in front of the Pharaoh, what was that guy's name, the bald guy? Somebody help me. Yul Brynner, the stern Pharaoh, you know, Moses throws down that staff of his. It's a long one. It's taller than he is. But technically, that was a rod in the scripture. And we know that the rod was a much shorter instrument because when God had all of the tribes bring their rods to him so that he could show who he chose to be his priesthood, Aaron's rod budded. It budded not only with leaves, but with flowers and almonds. So his rod that budded was placed into the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant we know to be somewhere around half the size of a coffin for the visual image of that, about 4, maybe 5 feet long by 3 feet wide by 3 feet tall. So the rod that budded for Aaron had to fit in the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant wasn't very long, only 4.5 to 5 feet. So that's an aside. But in reference to the staff is a long, slender stick. There are three areas of sheep management that the shepherd uses and the staff plays a significant role in. The first of these lies in drawing the sheep together into an intimate relationship. Now, isn't that what our chief shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, does for us, brethren? Drawn into him for a close and intimate relationship, or better stated, through him we are drawn into a close and intimate relationship with God the Father, through Jesus Christ, as we understand that that works. So drawing the sheep together in an intimate relationship, the shepherd will actually use his staff to gently lift a newborn lamb up to the nourishment of its mother. And he uses the staff so that the mother won't reject the lamb because of his scent of his hands upon it. So he uses the staff to draw the lamb up to the mother and help the lamb to understand how to begin his life. He does this because he doesn't want the ewe to reject her offspring if it bears his odor. The staff is used by the shepherd to reach out and catch individual sheep, especially if it's the kind that has a hook on the end, not a big swooping hook, but one that would catch it by the hind leg or the front leg, where its knuckle is much larger over the top of that hock, if you will. And he uses it to bring them in close to him so that he can examine them. Again, as the 23rd Psalm says, He anoints my head with oil. The sheep are very social creatures. What I read about that is that the way that they greet one another is by touching noses and touching faces, and often, as you might expect, like the flu or the colds that we have, get spread because of a close contact like that. The sheep can spread problems. There's a specific, they spoke of a specific problem they have called scab that would basically just be an irritation on their faces and on their heads, mostly from the fact that that's how they interact with one another. And that's why the shepherd would draw them in close to him with the staff to administer some sort of salve or ointment or oil in order to keep that under control. The staff is also used for guiding the sheep. Again and again, Keller says here he's seen the staff used to guide the sheep into a new path or through a gate or through a dangerous and difficult route. He speaks of how, you know, if they're climbing up a steep embankment, the staff can be used to assist them one by one up an obstacle that would otherwise frighten them and cause them to scatter. And he also speaks about how the sheep is a pretty stubborn creature, and by his own experience as a shepherd, some of the impossible predicaments that they get themselves into just by being greedy for one more mouthful of green grass. You know what they say about the grass, it's always greener on the other side. So, you know, in the case of Jobs, this is an aside, I always say, yeah, but you have to mow that grass on the other side as well. Well, the sheep are always looking for ways to get to a better mouthful of grass, and by doing such, they get themselves in some dilemmas by either falling or slipping down cliffs or ravines or falling into the sea in his experience. And he says that only his long shepherd staff could actually reach them and pull them out of that predicament. Another common occurrence was to find sheep, he says, that were stuck fast in labyrinths of wild roses. You've ever crawled into a rose bush, you know sometimes that getting in is not the problem, but getting out will be as the thorns take hold. And he says where they had pushed in to find a few stray morsels of grass or something like that, and the thorns were so hooked in their wools that they couldn't pull free. And tug as they might, only the use of the staff could free them from their entanglement. So I hope, brethren, as we've reviewed it, that you have a better understanding. We can have a better understanding of the two tools of the shepherd. And so today my plan was to discuss the tools of the shepherd and how they can be considered a comfort to us, and how Jesus Christ, our Savior, who himself declared, "I am the good shepherd," will use them in the care and control of his flock. That would be us, his sheep. He has compassion on us with his staff to lean on and comfort us. And sometimes he has to use the rod in order to encourage us to go the right direction, or encourage us to do the right thing, or better yet, to protect us from the evil that may be present or that we may not even know is present. You know, have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we often pray to Jesus Christ for protection as a part of being the good shepherd. His rod would come into play for that, but how subtle is that? Perhaps when we prayed for that protection today, he delayed us 5 minutes so that we would be out of harm's way. It doesn't always have to be something as drastic as our shepherd grasping the lion by the beard and smoting him with the rod as we are in the jaws of that peril. It could be that he is using his staff to gently lead us in the direction that is safest, into green valleys and good pasture. So sometimes only the love of the good shepherd, knowing exactly how to use his tools, the staff and the rod, can free us from our entanglements. So remember, the rod, protection and authority, or the staff, comfort and support. We can trust in God and in Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, to guide us through the valley of the shadow of death and look for the day of his appearance that's spoken of in 1 Peter 5, verses 4. And you can turn with me there as we conclude the sermon for today. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." And Godspeed, brethren, that day.